Jeff Epps is the greatest player that's ever played in Florida.
This Nugget's pink, and I hate it.
About to go hard for 50 minutes.
You can't say stuff like this on podcast, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, November 16th, 2009. I'm your host, Adam Barry. Joining me today, two football writers who have never been 20-0 at anything in life. We got Phil Kegler.
Took my intro. I was just going to ask Kyle if he'd be 20-0.
I, of course, have. In multiple things.
In everything.
Madden, FIFA. Yeah.
Right.
True. All right, well, we've got a lot to talk about on today's show. We're going to start off breaking down the South Carolina game, talk about some of the expectations the Gators have been dealing with, sort of look forward a little bit, round out the show with a little bit of men's basketball talk and give out our weekly awards. Phil, I'm going to kick it to you. Just talk about the South Carolina game, give an overview, what you saw out there in Columbia.
Well, it was a storyline much like we've seen before. Defense, awesome. Offense struggles, although defense did struggle in the first half, allowing over 200 yards, which was almost as much as they allowed in four entire SEC games earlier this season. So not a very good effort.
Though.
Yeah, well, I just dropped stats. I have so much knowledge up here. I'm so kind to drop it on you. Kyle, what did you think of the offense Saturday?
I was waiting for some more stats. You know, you can drop some more stats on me?
You said you have so many to drop.
UF is 94th in the country in red zone efficiency after another great effort.
That's miserable.
Yep, and the running backs did not have one of their best efforts there Saturday night.
I mean, the offense looks the same, as it always does, which is not very good. They hit Cooper on a long play on the very first drive. It was like a 3rd-and-3 or so. Is that right? 3rd-and-4? Something like that.
Yeah,
and they hit him on a slant. He caught it, ran about 60 yards afterwards for a touchdown, and it looked like we may have to eat some crow on the offense. But Steve buckled down, and he really made sure they didn't get the job done. We
all
looked like geniuses.
One for all.
Especially in the second half, because their average starting field position in the second half was the 40-yard line of the other team.
It's crazy.
And they still could only score 7 points. And the only time they scored was when Justin Tratow rumbled down to the 26, and they punched it in a few plays later with a Tebow one-yard run. So, I mean, they were reduced to trying 50-yard bombs. Caleb Sturgis missed a couple of them.
Yeah,
they punted a couple times from the other side of the field. It's really just becoming ridiculous to watch this team play offense. They're much closer to the 2006 Gators than the 2008 ones. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Yeah, I wrote that in my story today. They had four possessions in the second half to start on South Carolina field, and they got no points.
Mm.
No points.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, they also, you know, their old standby of time of possession, not very good in this game because they lost it. They had 28 minutes and 39 seconds.
Ooh.
So South Carolina is over 31 minutes. So Steve Adazio's old standby that they're just controlling the ball. Not exactly very great.
Not so much.
Yeah, Caleb Sturgis missed a couple bombs. He also missed the 29-yarder in the fourth quarter.
Sounds good.
Yeah, he's really missing a couple too many of these chip shots here. But, I mean, once again, the offense scores 24 points. I mean, it's really just becoming old hat here for these guys.
I want to talk about that Tratow play, though, because that was arguably the play of the game. That was the turning point. Just talk about that and how much they needed that at that point of the game.
Yeah, it was the first play of the fourth quarter. After three quarters, South Carolina was down 17-14, but they were definitely driving down the field. It was 3rd-and-3 from the UF 22-yard line. I've written this so many times that I know it in my head. 3rd-and-3, and Seaman Garcia drops back to pass, throws to Mo Brown. But the pass hits off Mr. Brown's face mask.
I think it may have been deflected at the line in defense of Mr. Brown.
Yeah, there have been multiple accounts on this. People have gone either way.
Yeah, people have said a whole bunch. Yeah, anyway, so the ball gets up in the air.
I'll tell you what didn't happen. Marquis Anderson did not break up the pass like all the UF players said that he did.
Yeah, that was outrageous.
Just trying to give Marquis some love, all right?
Yeah.
Anyway, good coverage by Marquis, but he did not tip the pass.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, he was right there. But anyway, ball goes up in the air. Justin Tratow, who had been blocked to the ground, gets back up, catches the ball, and rumbles down the right sideline for 53 yards, all the way down to the South Carolina 26. And even UF's offense couldn't manage to not score points from the 26-yard line.
They tried their best, but they still couldn't do it.
They do what they can not to score points. Riley Cooper just, you know, drops past it, touches fingertips twice.
Painful to watch.
That was awful.
The would-be touchdowns, as Phil wrote several times.
You got to come down with one of those. The second one especially was like anyone should have came down with that. First one was a little bit of a tough play, but you got to close out on the ball when it's right there for you. It's horrible. It hits him in the fingertips both times in the end zone by himself.
Right, but yet the shots still continue to go to Riley Cooper and not anyone else like Deontay Thompson.
I was going to say, did Deontay Thompson play? play Saturday? I feel like I think he had one reception.
Neither did David Nelson.
Oh man, you know, a week after leading me to glory.
Amarius Hines.
That's right, Amarius Hines played.
Yeah, Deontay Thompson, no catches. So that's great. He was one of the top wideouts coming into the season.
If you're keeping track at home, Amarius Hines had two more catches than Deontay Thompson and David Nelson combined.
Exactly.
But I would like to – like, that Tratto play was, like – it just came up big. Like, South Carolina crowd was going crazy. I mean, I'm not saying that if South Carolina scores there, Florida loses, but it's definitely one of those tense situations. I think it comes down to the end. They're trailing by three. They could have scored. They could have tied up the game at least. UF's offense had done nothing in the second half. I mean, it was a pretty close game.
I felt like, and obviously I wasn't there or whatever to get the feeling inside, but I felt like South Carolina was scoring there, did that, you know, had that play not happen. Possibly a touchdown, at least a field goal. That would have completely changed the complexion of the game.
Yeah, I mean, the momentum was definitely on South Carolina's side. I mean, like, they were driving down. Like, they knew what was going on. I mean, they just it just didn't work out for them. Yeah,
that play was definitely the turning point, and the return was really nice. But you know, not to rain on UF's parade, that's all I do, you know, as a journalist. But Justin Tratto didn't really make a play. Let's not get confused here.
Like,
yeah, I could have made that play. Any of us could have made that play. He admitted he got cut block on the play. So as he described it, he got up off the ground, turned around, and the ball just literally fell into his lap. Like, yeah. I'm not saying, like, he didn't bat it down, which is good. Like, I can't take away from, like, he did the best he could in the situation, obviously, and the return was 50 yards. That's huge. I could not have returned to 50 yards. But, like,
with that envoy block, I have been able to.
It's just ridiculous, though. Like, they're acting like somebody just made like an incredible play that the ball hit off the guy's face mask and just fell into a lineman's lap. I mean, act like somebody did something incredible on that play.
I don't even give the return that much credit. Major Wright was blocking like Lorenzo Neal there. I think Phil probably could have taken.
Well,
that
Jermaine
one
Cunningham did tackle him. On
he did trip him with his foot there. So.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the convoy was numerous.
It was outrageous. Like, I didn't even see how those people got down there. They were burling.
People ran off the sidelines and just started blocking.
All of a sudden, they had nine players there, and like one had the ball in his hands.
They just really wanted that lineman to score, man.
No, yeah, like, absolutely.
Somebody asked, or was it Charlie Strong? Did you want Justin Tratto to get down on that play?
Yep.
What? Yes, I was. Justin, take a knee. Take a knee, Justin. Like, are you kidding me? Our offense is fine. Take a knee. They'll punch it in from 60 yards out.
And all for one. Okay. Yeah. Take the knee there. Let the offense do its job.
If Justin Tratto falls to the ground and you have they don't the ball score. Like they're on 12, absolutely
no. There's no chance they
punt or miss a field goal right. And South Carolina gets the ball back. Probably doesn't score because that play was all South. You know that play was all UF's defense needed to get energized. From what I could tell,
yeah, they were dirty
because they went nuts. After that,
defense out of control. 41 yards in the second half.
How many drives was it?
Six, I think.
Yeah, that was in the second half as a whole.
Yeah, after the pick, though.
Negative five rushing yards for South Carolina in the second half.
After the interception, it went to a completely new level, though.
Yeah.
On the three drives after the interception, South Carolina ran 11 plays for negative 20 yards. Negative 20 yards!
Was that just them getting fired up, like, out on the field, or was it like they had confidence?
The thing is, too, they were down 10 points, so it really helped Florida's pass rush. Like, Carlos Dunlap and Jermaine Cunningham literally just dug in, and they only had a rushing quarterback. They, like, weren't playing the run anymore, so that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. coverage is so good that Steven Garcia wasn't immediately finding people open. But, they kicked it up.
I forgot who it was. I think it may have been Ed Splane. One of our listeners sent in said Charlie Strong's blitzing in the second half was like watching art or something like that. Did they change anything up? In the first half, I didn't think they were that impressive.
I didn't think so. It just seemed like they could get more pass rush because they were trailing so much.
Yeah, and they got better better pressure from their defensive line since they were just able to rush the quarterback. Because, you know, Joe Hayden got to him once in the first half on a corner blitz. And they were bringing Hayden a lot. But South Carolina was picking up that blitz pretty much every time. Like, Hayden did get the one sack. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like they knew it was coming from film. Or I don't know who was picking up the blitz. They were doing a great job. Because it was literally like they would snap it and then just throw it right over Joe Hayden's head to his guy. Who was, you know, Major Wright was sliding over the top or whoever. So they did a really good job picking up the blitzes in the first half. The second half, I just think the line got so much more pressure because they weren't playing the run that they couldn't block as many people as UF was bringing.
Yeah, I was definitely going to agree. I was just going to say that, actually. I was almost amazed at how many times they brought Hayden. I didn't count it and try to compare it to past games. It seemed definitely.
It was more.
It was more.
Yeah.
And also because it really wasn't work. Like, it worked that one time, and then it was like, I saw the play start. I saw Joe blitz, and I was like, oh, they're going to throw it to Joe's side.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, they were only like 5 or 6 yard gains because Major or whoever would come over and make the tackle, but it just seemed like too easy almost at sometimes.
Is it one of those situations, like I said, the defense, how many yards did they give in the first half? It wasn't great.
206, I believe.
More than they've given up in 4 games in the SEC combined.
Almost 4. The Tennessee game, they allowed 210. So it was literally almost as much as they allowed in 4 entire conference games. I mean, the defense all said that after the game, though. They were like, we didn't play well in the first half. There was a, quote, loud locker room at halftime, which probably contained many expletives, perhaps.
Most likely.
But, they definitely got themselves fired up, and, they weren't having that.
Yeah, and you look at the box score at the end, it looks like Joe Hayden just, like, went off, like, just did whatever he wanted to out there, because he had 11 tackles, a pick, 2 forced fumbles, a sack. But in the first half, they just picked on Joe Hayden the entire half. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Like, they wouldn't throw it to Jenkins' side. They only threw it to Hayden's side, and they just picked on him over and over and over again. That's how he had so many tackles, because his guys were catching balls, and the touchdown that they dropped in was right over Joe Hayden's head. So he really had a brutal first half. He said so afterwards. Stamper said so after. They all knew it.
Yeah.
And then he played great in the second half. But the reason that, you know, we didn't vote him for Swamp Studs, and, like, maybe some people weren't as quick to praise Hayden after the game, just because the first half was brutal for him.
Yeah, it's very hard sometimes to realize that if you're a fan only looking at a box score and you don't necessarily... Because sometimes it's easier for us because we can look at the entire field.
Oh. Well, the SEC didn't watch the first half because they named Joe Hayden.
I was pulling that up while you guys were talking. I was
player of the week.
It's absolutely outrageous.
I mean, just ask Joe Hayden. Joe, do you think you should get SEC player? No, heck no. I played horrible in the first half. He said that after the game.
Joe's first half was possibly one of the worst games he's played in, like, his entire 3 years. I mean, as Kyle said, they were just throwing on Joe's side, and Joe would blitz, and that's not his fault, but, like, the touchdown was thrown right over him, although, we'd have to say I was not very impressed with Brandon Spikes in this game.
No. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, didn't do anything, and 2 times he had Steven Garcia right in his sights, could have made a huge play. The first time was on the play that Steven Garcia then threw for a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Brandon Spikes was, like, 2 yards, like, maybe 5 yards, like, right in front of Steven Garcia, just has to sack him. Steven Garcia eludes him. Then Steven Garcia on 4th and 2, Brandon Spikes again has him right in his sights and misses the tackle. Those are plays that I'm used to seeing Brandon Spikes make, and he didn't make them Saturday night.
I think it's time we start talking about, is UF better without Brandon Spikes? No, I'm kidding. No, absolutely not. Absolutely
John Brantley
not.
And...
You want John Brantley and Ryan Staff or Dustin Doe and whoever the third linebacker would be in that situation. Is it one of those things, though, because we talked about the offense looked good at first, the defense didn't look good. It's still that same. I'm sure they wouldn't admit it after the game, but it's, you know, making up for the other one and carrying the other one when, you know, the other unit's not doing as well. One for all for one, et cetera.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think the defense is always usually really good, and they just had a bad first half. So yeah. I'm not going to pretend that they laid off because the offense was doing well. The offense seemingly can't do well after, like, now they've started to do well at the beginning of the game. So, like, maybe if they script some plays, they're really good at the beginning. Then either the adjustments they need to make or South Carolina makes adjustments and they can't cover. Because Florida scored on their first 3 drives. They scored 17 points, 2 touchdowns, and a field goal. And then 1 touchdown the rest of the game that was gifted by Trout's pick.
Yeah.
It's like either the defense is changing or the offense isn't changing. Something's messed up after the first few drives.
Yeah, and it looks like Tebow in the second half was like, I don't know if he was trying to make a play where there weren't plays because they were on the South Carolina side of the field. But, I mean, he took 2 sacks in the second half that were just jokes. Like, you've got to throw the ball away. Like, learn to throw the ball away. It's unbelievable. You can't take 10-yard sacks. I mean,
that
killed them, the sacks that he was taking. So, I don't really know what the deal with the offense is. Also, second half, they went into Brandon James mode.
Yeah.
It was like they hit the Percy button, but they only had Brandon James. And they were just, like, throwing it all over the field to Brandon James. You got to get Brandon James' touches. Anytime you have a guy who can do 4 catches for 24 yards, you got to take it.
The long of 11.
It is unbelievable. Why is Brandon James a focal point in your offense?
I mean, I continue to say that he shouldn't be in the offense at all.
Right, I agree.
There was definitely a point they called timeout on the sidelines, and I swear, like, I can only imagine what the conversation on the sidelines were. They came back out. They threw it to Brandon James on the right side. They threw it to Brandon James on the left side. And I was like, oh, great. They just don't want to win, apparently.
It's unbelievable. Brandon James led the team in catches, and I think he had more touches than Chris Rainey and someone else?
No, Rainey had 10 rushes. Okay. He had more than Moody. Surprise, surprise.
Moody did get hurt.
Yeah.
He didn't play.
How many carries
did
Demps have?
Demps had 9.
For 36. Okay.
I don't know.
Not
who
for
I was
32.
Thinking of
30. Not a good game for Jeff
Demps. Demps struggled a little
hard
bit.
I couldn't really pinpoint it. It would be easier, I guess, maybe if I went back on film. Did you see why?
I mean, they didn't bother getting him out in space again. Well, it was more of like the, let's just dive him up the middle. So,
well, sure.
I mean, the sweeps, they were in there. I didn't see them because I don't know what I'm looking for.
Right, obviously.
But in my, really crappy opinion, I feel like they didn't get him on the edge enough.
Right. But. No, yeah, I'd probably get. And it also, somebody who I was surprised to see not too big of a factor in this game was Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, 3 for 30.
He had 3 catches, and 2 of those, I'm almost positive, were on shovel passes because those are called forward receptions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd been wondering the entire year when some team would take Aaron Hernandez away. I don't know if it was South Carolina's defense or if Steve Adazio really doesn't know how to get the ball to one of his best playmakers. But Aaron Hernandez, not too big of a factor in this game at all, really.
No, not at all.
Anytime Jeff Demps averages 3.6 yards a carry and has a long of 9, you're not using him, right? It's not that he's not doing something wrong in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have his best game and he dropped the pass out in space and stuff. But, like, I don't feel like they used him the way they should. But I don't feel like they do a lot of things right. So the 4th-and-2 call was horrible
outrageous.
As usual. I mean, if we could go back and watch film from every game this season, if I was going to chart one thing, it would be how often they go to jumbo on 3rds-and-3s and less.
And
like,
fail. And fail and do so.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's so predictable. They just bring in if you're over 250 pounds, get on the field, and we're going to have 4 fullbacks and 3 tight ends, and Tebow's just going to run up your butt, and everybody fall forward as far as you can. And it didn't work again. And it's so stupid. Like, just spread them out.
Yeah.
Tebow one-on-one is probably going to win. Tebow 1-on-4 in the box, it's going to be a little harder for him.
Don't forget, he doesn't look for holes. He just runs people over.
That's why I laughed with like one of the TV announcer or whatever. It's like, Florida brings in 2 fullbacks. And I'm like, they don't even have 2 fullbacks. Like, what are they? Like, they bring in.
I'm surprised there are only 2. Was that the spread? They're in the spread then, obviously.
My favorite was Mo Hurt running in from the sidelines, lining up on the wrong side of the center. Andrew is having to tell him to go to the other side. Then, not seeing that Mo Hurt's not with the game, the coaches run the ball right up Mo Hurt's side, and Tebow gets stuffed.
Enjoy.
Yeah,
that's that totally wild, ridiculous Florida offense. It's unpredictable, as Steve Adazio.
So
unbelievable. Although, of course, Emmanuel Moody has a pretty good game and then gets hurt.
Yeah, God, poor guy.
God bless him.
He learns how to play the option even. Yeah, I thought this is a whole new game for him.
I thought that was a big play.
That was a hell of a run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a great play.
He ran over courage and honor.
A duty in America.
Honor and country really lost out on Saturday.
Integrity got cut back.
That's the long. That was our longest rush of the game, the Emmanuel Moody option. Like, that's... God. This is criminal. Like, this is ridiculous. You're using Emmanuel. Like, that's a Jeff. That's exactly what they did with the Jeff Demps option, though, in the other game that worked out well. Yep.
Well, they did. I mean, apparently they run that option a lot. Didn't really see it too many times Saturday night.
I must say, you may have seen it once.
I saw Tebow get swallowed up on it a couple times.
Yeah.
That's about it. They had 2 explosives in this game, also, if you're keeping track at home. Both Riley Cooper, both in the first quarter. Plays of more than 20 yards, a 68-yard touchdown, and another 30-yard play on 3rd-and-12.
Yeah.
And other than that, nada. Nothing, Steve.
No
plays more than 20 yards.
No explosives from Demps, who has a ton of explosives, or Hernandez, who also has a ton of explosives.
Yeah. I mean, Riley Cooper also left 2 on the field. I mean, like,
right.
I would say, like, if Riley Cooper catches those balls, he has one of the sickest receiving days ever.
Yep.
Definitely over like 200 yards plus and 3 touchdowns. So
yeah,
it would have been disgusting.
He had 112 as it was.
Yeah,
man.
But it's just like the Georgia game. Like, Georgia game starts to go right to Cooper. He's got like 98 yards in the first quarter. Then that's it. No more. It's like, it's just getting outrageous. Like,
I mean,
Cooper's like the first quarter guy.
Yeah, they did go back to him in this game, obviously, but he just
didn't
make a play.
Yeah.
So
I feel like they start off, they did more or less what they did in Georgia. Start off, get the quick slant to Cooper, do the option play in the first quarter, and then just completely shut it down. Dive left, dive right, Tebow up the middle.
I can't stand. It's like, nope, we scored 17 points. Our defense can hold it. We don't want to score more points.
No, absolutely not.
Stick to the game plan, Phil.
It's outrageous.
20-0. Have you ever been 20-0?
No, I'm not in anything, apparently.
All right. Now, another thing we wanted to talk about, you know, that some of the guys, coaches, and players talked about after the game was sort of the high expectations the team has been dealing with up to this point, some of the pressure it's been causing. We've mentioned it before, but it seems like more came out about that after this game. Kyle, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. In the post-game press conference, Urban Meyer, he said that he doesn't go on the internet anymore. He doesn't turn on his computer ever since after the Tennessee game. He just doesn't do it because it's going to be stuff that makes him angry and distracts him from special teams. So he can't have any of that. All his focus has to be on punt coverage. And,
and six,
he decided that he's not going to read anything that's out there anymore, which is fine.
He's just very dependent on his wife, Kyle. He asks his wife what's going on
in
the world.
It's like George Bush. Read the paper. He gets it secondhand.
I'm going to also say he has a BlackBerry. It's like...
Yeah, well, I wanted to chime in. So you don't email recruits, I guess, then. Yeah.
I know for a fact that happens.
Urban Meyer's a lot smarter than George Bush. But anyway, so besides that, we talked to Will Hill, safety, and he said he doesn't watch ESPN anymore. He only watches Cartoon Network. He doesn't want to hear all the stuff that's out there because he feels like no matter what they do, it's not going to be good enough for anyone. And Ahmad Black kind of echoed those sentiments. And Ahmad Black went as far as to say, as you know, a lot of the people that are out there writing and talking about them, such as me and Phil, we've never played football before.
Nope. What is football?
We're not in the he didn't address us personally.
No.
I just want to talk about
Kyle, Kyle and Phil. But he was like, you know, you guys have never played football before. You're not in the team meetings. You don't know what's going on inside the team.
We did offer to come to any
meeting. I said, Ahmad, you want us there? I'll be in that team meeting. But
you know who else has never been a team meeting? Any reporter who's ever covered anything ever. Like,
what is he?
No,
want?
That's the kind of attitude that this team has taken on. But I asked both of them, Will Hill and Ahmad Black, you know, what kind of expectations do you have for yourself? Because, you know, whatever we put on you, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of what you put on yourself. And, you know, Will Hill was just saying, you know, to go out there and get back to where they were last year and stuff like that. And I asked him if they were happy with what they were doing. He's like, yeah, as long as we're winning, then we're happy. I asked Ahmad Black, and he said they just expect themselves to play hard every game. And I said, are you happy with what you've been able to do? Do you think you've lived up to the expectations? You could see he was kind of snagged. He saw what I was doing there. He's like, oh, wait, we're not really happy with what we're doing. And he just said kind of stalely, he's like, well, we can always play better. And it's like, yes, Mod, that's our attitude as well. Like, I don't understand. We're all on the same page. It's just, it's another chip on the shoulder. It's another motivational tool. It's like, the media is just out to get us. Like, I don't know, really. I guess I'm fine with it. Like, that's the attitude they want to take. I don't really care. It's just that when you're not living up to your own expectations, and we all know that, and you know that, like, just ease up a little bit on us. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I kind of agree. Like, I think I might go in lockdown. I mean, because at this point, they're not going to live up to expectations. I don't foresee any possibility, like, any possible future where Florida all of a sudden is meeting at least the media, you know, expectations. So turn it all – I mean, fine, turn it all off. Like, you know, the next four games, if they make it – or whatever bowl game they make it to, it's going to be the same thing. Defense is going to play well. Does the offense score enough to win a game?
Right.
So, I mean, the criticism is going to be the same thing. I mean, it might change a little bit. It might be this person's fault this week, this person's fault this week. But, I mean, but sure, turn it off.
But the media gets made into, like, this crazy beast that just needs to be fed. But, like, I didn't hear anyone saying anything negative after the Georgia game. Did you? I didn't hear anyone write a single negative thing after the Georgia game. It was all great game, perfect game. Everyone did well.
The offense is back.
Nobody had anything bad to say because it was almost a perfect game. That was great. They played great. They were proud of themselves, I'm sure. The media was happy to give them all the credit in the world that they deserved.
Right. If anything, after that one game, it was like they got the Florida break because everybody thought, oh, they're back now.
Yeah.
It wasn't like – I feel like with a lot of different people, a lot of different teams, the media might have been like, well, maybe that was a fluke. Georgia's not very good. Nobody wrote that, really.
No,
everybody was like, oh, the offense is back, or, you know, essentially everything's going well, good game, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we find out weeks later that everything's not really fixed. Georgia's just not very good.
Yeah, that was the thing we did is that we praised them. Like, oh, they've figured out, you know, they've taken out the bonsai. They're going quick plays early. They're scoring points.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
All right. I was nice to Steve. I said Steve did a great job early in the game, just getting the passing game involved.
Yeah.
So
I was impressed at the beginning of that Georgia game. Of course, then they locked it down when it was run mode.
So that's the thing. It's like, honestly, you can make it an us versus them thing, and they can make it an us versus them thing. But when it comes to dealing with expectations, really, we're pretty much holding you to the same expectations you hold yourself.
Right. That's the thing, is they don't have like a standard thing that they say they want to hold themselves to, and they keep changing it to be convenient with whatever the time is.
I just want to get to Atlanta.
Nope, or I just want to beat FIU.
What
do you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, the media expectations, some media expectations are absurd, like they're going to win every... But, I mean, when you look at the talent that they have on offense and defense... Defense is pretty much doing almost as well as they can do. The offense, they have more weapons than they're showing. Like, if you went into the season, I mean, everybody predicted them to be the top team, blow people out, because they were good. Not because there's this, like, sense of, like, Florida's just, you know, going to beat everyone. Everyone's so bad. It's because they have talent. It's not, like, just this random idea.
That's the thing. I want to say it was Andy Staples of Sports Illustrated wrote that he said, you know, Florida fans' expectations are just high because it's Florida, because it's, you know, because Steve Spurrier beat teams 55-14 or whatever.
It's
because
talent.
This team is talented, because this team has shown that it has the talent to score a lot of points.
Right. That would be the discussion, like, next year if all of a sudden everybody's gone and they still expect these same results. But this team is good. Like, everybody, like, tries to cut them slack. It's like you return every defensive starter. You have what we thought was one of the best college football players of all time, a quarterback. You have running backs that are great. You have a couple wideouts. That was supposed to be the one question. But you're not even coming close to your potential at this point.
And they all know it. That's the thing.
Yeah, no.
That's the thing that kind of gets me, like, I don't even really want to defend myself or the media in general. They all know it. Like, it's all BS. They can say whatever they want to my face, to us. I've never played football, so I can't talk about it. I'm not in the team meeting, so I don't know what the hell's going on. That's fine. Say whatever you want about that. But I know that when you guys get in the locker room after their 24-14 win against South Carolina, the offense can't score more than 7 points on South Carolina's field the entire second half. Nobody's in there just like, oh, God, we're so good. The offense just played great. That was incredible.
That's all that matters.
I'm so happy. Like, yeah, they're happy to win, but I know that there's like, okay, we got to do better. We got to do better. We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
We got to get on. We got to fix things, because down the road, we're going to need it. Urban Meyer said as much. He said about the Cooper drops, he said, I'm so sick of seeing balls drop off fingertips. He goes, we all know what's coming down the road. We're going to need to make those.
There's only one thing
that's
he was
almost
referring to.
That's almost word for word. He wasn't talking about the FIU Panthers. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
He was talking about Alabama, and he's talking about the national championship game.
Yep.
They know that they need to play better if they want to ensure that they repeat. And that's everyone's goal in that locker room, is to win another national championship. We can argue about undefeated or not. Maybe, I mean, they'll be happy if they lose and still win a national championship.
Sure.
I do believe that. But I know the goal is to win a national championship. But regardless of what they say, you know that that's the goal right now.
No, yeah, that's just realistic, and that's what you'd expect them to come out and say.
And if that's not their goal, they need to seriously reevaluate. The coaches are idiots.
Yeah.
But
the problem is that they give them this thing, you know, and they tell them what their expectations are early to not get it hyped up in this big bad media machine that we supposedly are. You know, just say about getting to Atlanta. So then once they've secured a spot in Atlanta, what are they supposed to say then? Nobody knows. It's just a giant disaster.
To win in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I mean, now...
what do you do before then? Like,
nothing. I mean, hang out.
Lose. It doesn't matter.
The thing is, it's like, for weeks, they know, like, I know that the coaches know that they could have won these games. Like, they have more talent than South Carolina, than Vanderbilt, than Mississippi State, than FIU, than FSU. I mean, they could play bad and win. We've seen that. But the thing is, you have to get better because you're going to play Alabama. Like, you can't keep playing like this and win, or it's not going to be comfortable.
That's,
you know, I keep predicting the Alabama game to be 9-6 at this point.
And that's the other thing, is like, it keeps the viewpoint keeps changing from week to week on like what's convenient or what makes you feel better. Because, you know, when you looked at objectively at the schedule at the beginning of the year, before any games were played, you said, wow, Florida has the jokiest schedule of all time.
Yeah.
Their schedule sucks. There's no way with this talent they don't run through it. And it wasn't like in past years, 2006, 2008, they had rough schedules that they had to go through. So in that case, you give them a break. A win's a win. You came out with a win every week in those schedules. Good job, guys. When you're playing a horrible schedule that's not challenging at all, and you're eking out win after win every week by 10 points. By the way, the stat about only one game in the 20 have been by less than 10. If you expand that to just 10, one more point, then all of a sudden it's like half the game. So I don't really want to talk about that. But when you're just getting like one win at a time, like just barely getting it against these lesser teams, it's nice to sit back and say, we play in the SEC, it's the hardest conference in America. Da, 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 da.
You didn't play the hardest schedule.
Exactly. And you didn't play the best teams. And down the road, it's like, those are your tough games. And if you're not the best team you can be at that point, that's when you can get slapped. So
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Florida would do against Alabama. Like right now, I mean,
Alabama's looking good.
Yeah, I mean, they have looked good, but the thing is, like, I really can't judge either of them until they play each other. I mean, like, I have this expectation of Florida. I think the offense is not going to score against Alabama's defense. I see Alabama. I say they have a really good defense. Quarterback's a little shitty. They have a really good running back. But again, they're also doing it against who, you know, it's like they did beat LSU. They did beat Ole Miss. But it's like they haven't, you know, they haven't met anyone like Florida either.
Right. The West is really much hard. Tougher than the East.
True.
Though.
Very true.
So I agree with you, though, that, you know, they haven't been knocking off Titans the whole year.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and who'd they play at the beginning of the year? Didn't they get an ACC? They beat Virginia BT. Tech.
Yeah.
So they beat Virginia Tech. They play in the West, which top to bottom is 100 times tougher than the East.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Alabama's a little more battle tested at this point. I'm not saying they're better than Florida. I think Florida would still beat them. I still believe in this Florida defense to just take them as far as they need to go. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm just sick of, like, a win's a win against these crappy teams. Like, a win's not really a win, especially when your goal is not to just beat that team. The goal at the beginning of the season isn't go 8-0 in the SEC. It's not to go 10-0 to start the season. It's to win a national championship, right? I mean, am I wrong here?
No,
like,
no.
Like, if they lose in the SEC championship game, is anyone happy?
No, the season's a disappointment.
Right. You failed. I guarantee you that was your goal.
Yeah.
So we can all say 10-0 is great. They're undefeated. Have you ever been 19-0? Blah, 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 blah. I guarantee you if they lose in the SEC championship game, the whole thing goes to hell and they don't even care anymore. And that's the point here.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's totally it. I mean, got to fix the offense. And the other thing, the special teams hasn't been this huge ace up Florida's sleeve this year, really.
Right. Don't tell that to Urban Meyer.
No, I mean, he knows it. I guarantee he knows it. Like, if you could, like, get him in a corner and be like, Urban, are you happy with your special teams? Besides the fact that he's never happy with anything, probably. They're going after punt blocks and not getting them regularly. Brandon James all of a sudden reappeared this game, but hasn't been common.
I think he is happy with the coverage teams,
yes,
but
true.
Not with the return teams.
Okay, yeah, I'll break that down better. That's
okay.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
The return team's just not very solid right now.
Because the coverage teams have really been disgusting.
No,
they don't give up any punt return yards, obviously, because Chaz Henry just kicks it 1,000 feet into the air every
time.
Even
with him out kicking the coverage.
Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah.
And then,
the kickoff coverage
has been awesome. They played really good kick returners, and they never give up any yards. Marius Hines getting down the field, tackling the South Carolina return guys before the 15 a couple times in this game.
He can do it all.
Special teams is his world, Urban said. So the coverage teams have been great. But, yeah, Brandon James, I mean, he finally had a pretty decent game against South Carolina. He's been pretty much absent the whole year.
Yeah.
And like you said, they can't get their hand on a ball.
Right.
And that's got to piss him off because that's his thing. Like,
we
block a punt, we win 99.9% of the time. Like, that is their thing, and they're not getting any balls right now.
Right, and with this offense, like, against Alabama, like, you know, a punt block would go a long way towards helping a win there.
That's what I'm saying. I think that kind of stuff is more important than, you know, the offense putting up 35 points.
I mean, the offense can't put up 35 points. Like, literally, I think the offense's goal has to be 2 touchdowns against Alabama. Like, to be realistic.
Send the bar high.
They're going to try to, I don't know.
I mean, that's not going to be their goal, but, like, based on what the offense has looked like,
if we're betting, you're talking about, like, if we're betting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to score. They've scored under 25 points for the third time this season against South Carolina. Last year it happened once against Oklahoma in the national championship game.
Right.
That was their only game under 25 points.
I think they had a whole
month
to game plan for Florida's offense.
I'm telling you guys, this is why Steve Adazio is so angry, okay? We've been talking about 2008. We should have been talking about 2006.
Yeah.
And we should be asking him questions about, do you feel like your offense is just getting strapped to the back of the defense like you were in 2006 instead of what's the difference between 2008? Because literally almost the same type deal. They don't have a loss. Yes, I know. Okay, they don't have a loss. But go back and look at just the stats and stuff and the close wins and the points they're putting up. It's the same. It's just almost the same thing.
I felt like the receivers were at least better then, though. Like, there were several guys you could throw to, maybe.
You had Chris Leak. Well, Dallas Baker was great.
That's what I said.
But, I mean,
Caldwell was...
Okay, so maybe they were doing it in a slightly different way because they had Keystone Moore and Deshaun Winn.
Then.
So it was reversed, but I'm just
like opposite.
Forget,
your explosives guys were
elsewhere. Yeah. But look at like just the points and the yards
and
stuff like that. It's the same type
and
thing.
The defense being very good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, before we wrap up the football stuff, I want to revisit the Gator guarantees the three of us made on Friday's show.
3-0?
As always.
0-3. You have been 0-3 in life, if you're my
right. I haven't got one right in 2 months. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. You're just saving it for the season-long guarantees you made on the preview podcast.
I don't even know.
I got to go back and listen to those.
Banks.
No, we're going to revisit that at the end of the season. Trust me. Where I said Chris Brady would rush for 1,000 yards. It's going well for me. Going well for me right now, guys. I said Tim Tebow would account for 3 touchdowns against South Carolina. I was wrong. He accounted for 2, the throw, and then the 1-yard rush.
Heisman.
I also said Jeff Demps would get the other one. Manuel Moody vultured that one from him. A touchdown fiend he is. Phil, you said, what, Tebow would not get sacked?
Yeah, there was 2.
Yep. And Kyle, you said both the defense and special teams would score touchdowns.
Count it.
Book it. Almost, and yeah. James almost.
Yeah.
Count it in the loss column. But I'd say, well, me and you were the closest among.
I wasn't close at all. I don't want to be put in.
You had 2 almost, Phil. You know, you got 2 sacks, and I had,
well,
you know.
If Tebow didn't.
One more, Tebow. One more.
Terrible.
Yeah, that was my problem, too.
Tratow would have pitched it back to Hayden.
Oh, no.
Would have went for 6. Jeez. Hayden said afterwards, I wanted him to pitch it back.
You know what's funny? He still would have had 10 people blocking in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. He would have had another one because Tratow would have been in front of him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Florida men's basketball real quick. They opened up the regular season last night against state powerhouse Stetson, the Hatters.
The Hatters.
Yeah, got a 74-46 win.
Oh, sorry, yes. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It seemed pressing.
Nope, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, I just want to
let my emotions get the better of me. Okay. My mistake.
All right, the one thing I want to talk about really quick is Vernon Macklin, who we have hated on before, looked like a basketball player in this game. He scored 13 points, had 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. He played a little more physical than he had in the past. He got pushed around at first. He
was against Mighty Stetson?
Yeah, against
big guys.
Yeah, a 6'7 guy. I believe that was the biggest guy he's faced all season as a Gator. So then he looked bad at first. He had a layup just absolutely stuffed up against the backboard.
That's just crazy.
By a guy wearing rec specs. It was really...
Oh, yes!
It was super embarrassing for him. And then he went down. He got a terrible over-the-back call. And when you're a 6'10", 240-pound guy getting called for over-the-back against Stetson, you got to reevaluate some things in life. So he got pulled to the bench for, you know, Kenny Cagey early on. Donovan sort of talked to him, like, hey, relax, chill out there. And he came back in, and he played a better game. He looked pretty good. I don't know, Kyle, I'm sure you're not still going to be a believer in him yet. But.
No, I wasn't there, so maybe he's just nervous about playing in front of me because the first 2 games didn't go so well for him. But, no, good for – I'm not going to say he didn't have a good game. Good job. Like, Stetson, we'll take it down the road, see what happened. But yeah, I mean,
how he should play.
If he can do if he can put up 8-3 every night, I don't really care about the 13 points. But if he can do 8-3 every night, that's great. I hope that would make him a very nice player for them.
Yeah, I think that's all he needs to do. Especially when you have Tyus getting double doubles. He got 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. Parsons scored well off the bench. Kenny Boynton didn't have the great game we expected him
that's
to.
That's all right. He will now.
No, yeah.
Is his shooting percentage good? Or what was
he struggled. I forgot. He went 0 for 4 from 3. That was one of the most ridiculous storylines of the game was the 1-3 they made. You know, Billy Donovan's team shoot a lot of threes traditionally, as I've viewed it. Like, he has
that
a lot of good
mighty
outside.
Hatters three-point defense.
Obviously. They went 1 for 13, and the one they got to keep alive a 580-game streak.
Which is outrageous.
It's 1992. I was 3 years old when Florida last didn't make 3. Kenny Boynton was 1. We asked him that. He was 1 years old at the time. And then Chandler Parsons hits just a lucky one with 33 seconds to go.
Kenny Boynton was born in
1991? Yeah.
Yep. I'm getting so old. Yes, you are.
Oh, but Chandler Parsons hit the 3 on an assist from Rod Tishman. The PA guy called him
Hot
Nimrod last night.
Didn't get the memo.
There was an icy glare, I'll tell you that. when he was called Nimrod over the loudspeager. The fans loved it, though. But yeah, not a whole lot.
That's his name.
Yeah, exactly. Not a whole lot to take from the Stetson game. They did a lot of lineup changing and everything. The Vernon Macklin thing is certainly the most interesting thing to take from it. I think he's getting a little more comfortable. The most interesting thing Billy Donovan pointed out after the game was that Macklin, when he's thinking about other stuff and he's not focusing on the game, he sort of stands straight up. Like, he doesn't lock his knees. He doesn't get down in position like basketball players do. He just sort of wanders around out there.
Is he just looking at women in the crowd? Like, what?
He's got a lot on his mind, Phil.
It's outrageous.
He's a troubled man.
He's a Division I men's basketball player. Concentrate on the game.
I know, but I mean, it's one of those things where he hadn't played in a long... I'm not excusing him for it. I'm just saying that is what's happening.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah.
But then you can see, like, when he plays well, he gets down, he catches the ball, and he gets down into position, he backs his guy down, he doesn't just stand there and get the ball stolen from him.
Is fatigue still a problem for that?
I don't think so. I viewed him as a very good athlete, a very good runner.
Right, so it's just distraction. He just gets distracted.
It's all mental. All
right. Though. All right, just wanted to make sure I got that clear.
That's the starting center for your University of Florida Gators basketball team.
Will absolutely not make the NCAA tournament, much like my friends don't understand.
All right, thanks,
much
Phil.
Like my friends. That sounded about right to me.
Yeah, don't worry. All right, let's wrap the show up with our Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. We will start with our Reggies, and I will start. I'm going to give it to the UF women's cross country team and Rebecca Lowe specifically. They won not only the SEC a couple weeks ago. They went out and won the NCAA South Regional for the first time since, what was it, 98?
Yeah, they won back-to-back 97-98.
Yeah, and that's incredibly impressive. This team's young, talented, very good. They'll probably be a top-five team in the NCAA championships. And Rebecca Lowe had some sort of injury last year, sat out, came out, won the whole thing, which is incredibly impressive in the South.
If you're interested, the NCAA race is on Versus next Monday.
Is it really?
Yeah, you can watch it live.
When I covered cross country, it was on CBSCollegeSports.com.
Oh,
and
solid.
And I flipped up the live feed, sadly. Not a proud moment for me, but yeah, so I got to give props to the women's cross country team and Coach Todd Morgan.
All right, I will go next. Mine is going to Maurice Jones-Drew, Jaguars running back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really respected the apology throughout the fantasy owners there last night. He made the smart football play. He ran the ball down to the one and took a knee so his team could run out the clock, then kick the game-winning field goal. And somebody asked him about it after the game, and he apologized to fantasy owners, said he owned himself in the league
and really hurt himself and was thinking
about that, but had to do the thing for the Jaguars to win.
A deserved Reggie. A deserved Reggie. Good for him.
Yeah, I like that.
Brian Westbrook style. Okay. And my Reggie goes to Jake Locker and the Washington Huskies, not for doing good, no, for eliminating themselves from bowl eligibility. They're now,
this is not the ilk of the award.
They're now 3-7, I think. They picked up their seventh loss on the season. Mike Ferdinando, enjoy that the whole season. He's been saying how good the Huskies are. I've been saying that they're not good. And we had a little conversation on this podcast like a month or two ago about whether or not they'd go bowl eligible. I should have taken the bet. Yeah. I didn't. I pushed out. And Washington ended up being terrible. When they said USC, I said, just because you beat USC, it doesn't mean that you're good. Bad teams do it all the time. And that's what happened. Sarkisian, I'm sorry. But I'm very happy right now.
This really screws me up because I had Washington slated for a football national championship next year when I'm covering it just because of the Washington
Yeah, it's not lining up for you
thing.
Right now. Walker's going to jump to the NFL. He's going to be the number one pick, according to Defer.
Obviously. Why wouldn't he be? So let's move on and give out our Kyles. I'm going to give out this one. Kyle's a little bit of a story. I was at the basketball game last night. Jason Williams, former Gators point guard and current Orlando Magic point guard, was there. He was out there. He was recognized. They trotted him out onto the court during a break. They showed a video montage of him and, you know, all his great times as a Gator, you know, before he got kicked out for 3 drug suspensions and left on bad terms, and said, you know, joking like, oh, you know, I loved getting kicked out of college or something in an interview after the fact. That's actually what he said. Like, I cherished getting kicked out of college.
Enjoy.
Yeah. So he said that, but they rolled him out like he was some champion of the program or whatever. Let's get real. The only reason they did that is because star high school point guard recruit Brandon Knight was in the crowd. He was there. You know, they wanted to show Florida does have great NBA, not great NBA point guards, but NBA caliber point guards that could come out of the program. Why wouldn't you do that when you have, arguably the most talented recruit in the nation in the house? So they don't, and who has said he likes Jason Williams?
I was just going to say, yeah.
So they did that just because of that, and they're championing Jason Williams like he's one of, you know, I don't know, one of the 04s or like a classic program guy.
You know who's coming back next?
Who's that?
Teddy Dupe.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Two guys I love. I'm not even kidding.
Although
either.
He may be in jail on rape charges. Yeah, it's possible.
I haven't checked the records yet, but he may still be in jail for that. They'll have to wait a couple years when they're, you know, recruiting a high
school. I'm sure he's a great Gator.
I will defend both Teddy Dupe and Jason Williams to the grave.
I liked them as players when they were here at Florida, but as champions of the program, I have a little trouble buying into that. So that gets my Kyle for, you know, for that whole incident.
All right, mine will go to Patriots coach Bill Belichick for one of the worst coaching decisions of all time last night.
All time.
4th and 2 from his own 25 or so. He's up 6 with just over two minutes to go. Decides to go for it. They fall short. Of course, you know how this plays out. Peyton Manning can obviously drive a team in 2 minutes, 25 yards for the game-winning touchdown. Bill Belichick apparently did not trust his defense to keep Peyton Manning from going 70 yards in 2 minutes. You know, that is what it is.
All right. Well said, Phil. My Kyle Jackson, staying in the Pac-10, all Pac-10 all the time. USC, the Trojans, straight stomped by the Stanford Cardinal. Only one Cardinal. 11 Trojans couldn't take down the one Cardinal. And at home, they lost by 5 touchdowns. Yeah. Unbelievable. How does that happen?
Toby Gerhart, baby. Get on the back.
Or was it 5?
It was 55-21.
Yeah, 44 points.
34
points.
So about five touchdowns. Yeah.
Some bad math.
Absolutely incredible.
God, they have such great athletes.
Give them a month to prepare.
They're so smart. God, you know what it takes to get into Stanford?
All right, well, that wraps it up for this show. Now that Phil's pondering what it takes to get into a great Pac-10 school, check back with us later in the week. We will probably not preview the FIU game too much, but we'll definitely be back to talk about it.
You can't overlook the Panthers.
1 week at a time, Phil.
Yep.
All right, so we'll be back. Check back with that. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.